I'd like to speak, first of all, from an Old Testament scripture, from the book of Isaiah and chapter 9. It's on page 846 on this Bible. Chapter 9 and verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name is called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Father of Eternity, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with righteousness, with judgment and with righteousness from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of Jehovah of hosts will perform this." And then into the New Testament, into Luke's Gospel, the first chapter, I think it is. Chapter 1, yes, and verse 30, page 1220. Luke 1, verse 30. "And the angel said to her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favour with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in the womb and bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give him the throne of David his father. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob for the ages, and of his kingdom there shall not be an end. And Mary said to the angel, How shall this be, since I know not a man? And the angel answering said to her, The Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and power of the Highest overshadow thee. Wherefore the holy thing also which shall be born shall be called Son of God." And just over, just one page, chapter 2, verse 21, just the last half of the verse, "His name was called Jesus, which was the name given by the angel before he had been conceived in the womb." Isaiah is often spoken of as the preacher of the Old Testament, and there are loads of references in his prophecy to one who was yet to come. I can't remember them all by any means. He speaks about a nail in a sure place. He speaks about a shelter from the storm, a hiding place. All these things look forward to something that was yet coming, someone who was yet coming. And here, Isaiah speaks about a child being born. Bear in mind that Isaiah is speaking somewhere in the region of 700 or 800 years before the Lord was born. You think about that. Think about 800 years in our AD history. It goes back to a time about which I can tell you precisely nothing. I know about 1066, and I jump forward to 1665 and the Fire of London. I know nothing between that period in between. But Isaiah looked back that number of years, or sorry, looked forward that number of years, and spoke of something that was yet to come, someone who was yet to come, who was completely different and completely, can we say, incomparable to anyone who had been before. He speaks about someone, I don't want to go into all these various titles, Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Father of Eternity, and Prince of Peace. How the whole world must have looked forward if it had thought about Isaiah's prophecy to what was about to happen, or what was going to happen. Prince of Peace. I suppose in a sense that hasn't even happened yet. It looks forward to a coming day. But I think in the gospel we can tell you about someone who can give you peace now. You don't have to wait for a day that's yet to come to know that peace. Because we can tell you about a saviour. We can tell you about a one who can give you peace today. This hour, this minute, if you'll only put your trust in what he's done. So we've got a marvellous message to tell you. A message that's up to date for every day of the year. And until the Lord comes, as believers expect him to, that message will still be current. A message that's for today and for you, if you'll only put your trust in Jesus. We speak of one who died 2,000 years ago. But we speak because we know he lives today, and he lives at God's right hand. He's completed everything that God could possibly demand. My sins have been covered and removed completely in the blood of Jesus Christ. I have the certainty that I will never face the consequences of things I've done. And maybe you're not like me. There are things that I'm not proud of in my history. Probably no one else knows about some of them, but I'm not proud of them. And I'm very, very glad that there's a basis before a righteous God whereby every one of those sins has been completely removed. And I believe that work that Jesus did 2,000 years ago stands for me, not just for today, but for eternity. So it gives me peace. The Prince of Peace. I know the Prince of Peace, Jesus, as the Prince of Peace. So Isaiah looks forward all those years and has some impression of who this person was going to be, what he was going to do, the greatness of his person. And we look at the references in the Gospel to the incoming of Jesus, which is spoken about more this time of year than most times. And we're thankful for every reference that's made to the incoming of Jesus. Reminds men, women and children that there is hope today. We look around and you think, well, what will be the news for tomorrow? What will be the news for Tuesday? Any improvements? I don't offer any chance, any guarantee anyway, of improvements anywhere. America, here, Middle East, Russia and Ukraine, no forecast of improvement anywhere. Things look pretty bleak in the world around. And yet, I know the God who got everything in control. It says, I think it's in Isaiah as well, that he balances the nations as the dust on the scales. You think about that. I go back to my school days and the chemistry balances, how fine they were. And the tiniest, tiniest little bit of weight was needed for a tenth of a gram and this sort of thing. Very, very fine. But my Saviour, my God that I know, he balances the nations as the dust on the scales. Everything is in his hands, and I'm thankful for that. So we can go forward throughout the week with confidence in the God that we know. And I want to ask you whether that's the God you know, whether you have that same confidence that you can face the future with a sense that everything is in his hands, your future is in his hands, everything around, everything in the world is entirely in God's hands. You say, well, there's some awful things happening in the world. Awful things have happened. I can't explain those. I can't give you an explanation that satisfies me about them. But I trust the God I know. Maybe sometime I will understand them, but I don't at the moment. Terrible things that have happened. But I do know the Saviour who's appealing to you as a Saviour today, that you'll put your trust in him. Think of what he did for you at Calvary, how he bore your sins in his own body on the tree. How much it cost him. You know, we can have some impression of what it cost, or what it, the agony of hanging on a cross with nails in your hands and your feet, in the hot sun, in the Middle East for, 6 hours? Until Jesus died at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Hottest part of the day. My Saviour was there for me. And he bore my sins in those hours of darkness. Awful time when God heaped upon him every sin that I was due, that I might go free. What about you, dear friend? Have you got that confidence in this Saviour's work? Do you know that he's died for you? I think it's worth thinking about, don't you? Don't you think it's worth thinking about? If God is appealing in the glad tidings to you and to me, to everyone, don't you think it's worth thinking about what God is offering you in the preaching? Because he's brought his son into this earth 2,000 years ago, and we read of it in the Gospels. In Luke's Gospel, I chose but there are several references in Matthew as well I would have quite liked to have read. Because it speaks about him as Emmanuel. This one who was going to come in was going to be called Emmanuel, which is God with us. God is not absent, a God who's far off, who doesn't realise all about the suffering of you and me, the difficult circumstances we may go through from time to time, the difficulties that some poor people seem to be in all the time. Emmanuel, God with us. It speaks about him as a saviour. It speaks about him as the Christ, God's anointed man, the one who alone has completely pleased God in his pathway down here. I like to think of Jesus, and it's said of him, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I have found my delight." He could say that of no one else, but that's Jesus. That's my Saviour, the one I would like you to accept as your Saviour too, as you'll put your trust in him and find the peace and joy that believing in Jesus will give you. It speaks about him being born. It speaks about him being taken into the temple and circumcised. And it speaks about him too being given that name, Jesus. The one that was referred to so many years before. It was referred to by the angels, "Call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins." That's the name that all of us know. We all sing about him. We've all enjoyed singing about him. Jesus, he shall save his people from their sins. But I want each one of you to be sure that you've got a link with him that's steadfast and sure. As we look forward through life, if the Lord doesn't come, there are further difficulties that we're going to have to face. I don't know what tomorrow is going to bring forth, or next year, or the year after. If we're left here, I don't know what's going to happen. I do know someone who said, "I am with you all the days until the completion of the age." And I trust him. I've trusted him for eternity, and I'm trusting him for the rest of my life here. He's left me with the blessed Holy Spirit, a gift to help me change from what I naturally am to be a bit more like Jesus. There's fruit of the Spirit, things that actually show in my life to show that I've got that gift. Long-suffering, patience, love, meekness. Some of those things don't come naturally, but the blessed Holy Spirit would help us to become a bit more like Jesus as we let the Spirit operate in our lives. Well, don't forget about the message today. It's urgent. We want you to accept Jesus if you haven't already done so. Time is running out, We all know that at some stage this world's not going to go on as it is at the moment. Scientists will tell you that. The only question is the time period involved. God is going to wrap up this world, introduce new heavens, a new earth, which is going to be completely different, in which dwells righteousness. What a difference. What a difference from now. Think of what's done under the umbrella of law and justice and so on. Things that every one of us know is completely unjust. That will all go. And God's standard of righteousness will dwell and reign and cover everything. I'm going to be there through the work of Jesus. What about you? The answer is, if you put your trust in the work of Jesus, if you only believe God and believe what Jesus is offering you, and own before God that you're a sinner, that you've fallen short of God's standards. They're high standards. There's no getting away from it. God's not changed his standards or introducing low standards. He's got high standards. But he's given us the ability to meet those standards through what Jesus has done, if we'll only accept his work for us. Believe on Jesus today. Find the joy and peace of believing in him for his name's sake. Amen.